Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah. Juneteenth. You heard? Turn me up, dog.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the eighth wonder of the world. The flow of the century. Oh, it's timeless.
Hope.
Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world.
But you're here with me.
You're here with the Stab Brothers.
I appreciate that. H to the Izzo, V to the Izzane. For shizzle, my nizzle used to dribble down in VA. Was herbing them in the home with the turbans. Got it dirt cheap for them. Plus, if they were short with cheese, I would work with them. Born in weed, got rid of that work for them. Wasn't born hustlers, I was birthing them. H to the Izzo, V to the Izzane. For cheesy, my kneesy, keep my arms so breezy. Can't leave rap alone, the game needs me. Haters want me clapped at chrome, it ain't easy. Cops wanna knock me, DA wanna box me in, but somehow I beat them charges like Rocky. H to the Izzo, V to the Izzane. Not guilty.
He who does not feel me is not real to me. Therefore, he doesn't exist. So poof. Damn, move, son of a. It's your boy. You heard? Back again. Hey, first of all, I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Step Brothers podcast. Episode 157.
No, what?
What?
146 for real this time.
Oh, is that what that is?
Remember, because we had that.
You know why I said we was on 157? Because I'm ahead of these niggas.
What?
In life. Overall.
Oh, okay. I was like, okay.
I'm just kidding. I'm not. I'm.
Yeah,
I'm,
it's a fit. This will okay. be 146 for real.
146 for real. It's your host with the most, Chris Minor, a.k.a. Dino Spumoni, extra cheese and pepperoni, a.k.a. Young Talk To Me Nice, a.k.a. Young Chris Kringle. Nigga, what's good, Dalton?
Yo, what's good?
Matter of fact, Dalton, just sit back. It's Juneteenth.
I know.
Just sit back. Let me take care. First and foremost.
I feel like this is going to be
a running thing. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, I see another black and white duo that wear nice shoes and has a beard are out here, you know what I'm saying, putting out mediocre shit. You know what I'm saying? They can't do what we do. I listen to both them podcasts. You know what I said? That was a two-pack of ass. And that's to take it back to the JBP for y'all boys. Y'all know where that was a two-pack of ass, man. Sardines. That was span in a can. You heard? Wow. They sank my battleship. Nah, we ain't doing that. I was trying to think of another like pun, but it didn't.
Trying to see where you're going.
It didn't come. I don't know what it is, man. But I'm glad that they're doing their thing. Obviously, I ain't no like true hater. I'm a hater, but not like a true, like pure blood hater. I'm not one of those. And but nah, man, they got a job, bro. Entertain these motherfuckers that left one audience and came to y'all's. Right now, I mean, y'all just putting up shots. That's what I really think is going on. Let me just say that. I think they're just putting up shots.
See what stick.
Yeah. You know, but they talk about practice. We came out this motherfucker, no audience. No, nothing. We just started to, hey, we're doing the podcast. And the people came. You know what I'm saying? So shout out to y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it's Juneteenth. I'm wearing all black because it's Juneteenth. I know the American flag bandana might throw some of you off because of the Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying? But we built America. You know what I'm saying? And I just felt like it was appropriate. I got my jewelry on. I got to put the camera because these bitches are beautiful. Man, shout out to Tinker. That's the only white man I'm shouting out this podcast. I'm shitting on the rest of them. Dalton, if you don't want none of this smoke, just kidding. I always shit on you. You are definitely an ally. You know what I'm saying?
The whole episode is like, fuck you, motherfucker.
Yeah. Who am I? Who do I hate first? White people. All, I mean, and as a breed, all the, not all of them. It's so hard to like separate your hate from like, you know what I'm saying? It's like the whole, I hate to say this like nationally, but fuck it. It's like the R. Kelly thing. Like, I still really enjoy a woman's threat. You know what I'm saying? But I can't not think, every time I listen to him, I'm like, why am I listening to this nigga? He did that wild shit. So it's like hard for me to separate. Not really hard. Like, I can still listen to the music, almost kind of enjoy it, like, depending on, but R. Kelly's the, for some reason, R. Kelly and Bill Cosby are the only niggas that shit really stuck, like, to them. Like, everybody else kind of diddy bopped their way out of their little Me Too moment. except Harvey Weinstein, like, he's, that nigga's out of here. He's in jail. He's fat. I wonder if he started working out in there. probably not. He probably, yeah. But yeah, man, it's hard to separate. But no, all white people are just, I think they have no idea, and they don't want to know, you know. And I feel like it's just so blatant. Like, why are you, it's like you're almost forcing yourself not to see like what it is, and that's weird. Because you can't be that oblivious, not when you know everything else in the world. You could tell niggas how to do taxes and you do, start a 401k. Or, well, you should. You need to keep your grass lower than what 6 inches is homeowner associate. But y'all can't. Y'all don't know that. Y'all don't know that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all choosing not to see. Fuck it. Did you see that shit on Twitter? The chick called her boyfriend to work. And he got suplexed. Now, yeah. It raised the interesting question for me. And I talked to Ryan about this because Ryan is definitely the guy that's going to go to.
Oh, he'll pull up.
Yeah, but the thing is, my first thought was, oh, girl got to quit. Like, she has to quit her job because that's embarrassing. You got him into this.
Yeah, because she called him to come.
Well, really, the homie who was fucking around, like messing with her, I mean, this is all his fault. Like, if I felt like if he would have just left her alone, like, yeah. She probably asked, more than likely asked, none of this would have happened. But yeah, the video was just so telling to me. Like, I can say homie didn't really want to fight. He just had to try to prove a point, and he was letting his girl, who's pregnant, I guess they were saying, push him off and away and keep him at bay. I was like, oh, that nigga don't really want to fight. My voice is cracked. Then homie got suplexed, yeah, or whatever. Then homie with the braids threw up a set. I don't know what it was, but I mean, I thought it, he probably made it up or something. His braids were like super short, so he just started growing his hair. Like he just, I pay attention to a lot. Another thing I realized is, wherever they work, look like maybe like an Amazon or like Chewy's type of warehouse.
Yeah, because they had the
You know what I'm saying. Yeah. They got an all black HR department. Facts, I could tell. It was too many niggas outside. I seen one white lady. She didn't look terrified or anything. It was like, so she probably one of those I fuck black guy type white chicks or whatever. And she works with nothing but niggas. You have to like black people at that point. Like, I'm sure that job probably paying like $15-$16 an hour. The fact of the matter is, yeah, they got an all black HR department. They saw that video as we saw that video. And I don't think there was any real repercussions that came of it. Like, you're fired or we're going to send you home.
That we know of yet.
They laughing. And that's, again, that's why Shorty got to quit. She can't show her face in that bitch again and not get ridiculed.
Yeah, because, oh, let me guess, you'll call your boyfriend again?
Yeah, and then that's the thing. Like, yeah. Bullying is real, and niggas are creeps. I'm sure whatever homie was doing to her had to be bad enough that she went to her dude and he came up there.
Can you come up here?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she can't go back. And I kind of feel for her because now she got to like start the whole job search thing over again. My experience, the whole his world resume.
Watch him get his ass whooped.
Yeah, man.
What's he gonna do?
Homie threw up a set though. I was trying to think like where could they be, and obviously they could be anywhere in the U.S. But I would like to say Dallas or Atlanta, just for some reason. I'll throw California in there for like a little mix up.
If I look at the cars, I could probably look at the license plate.
Look at Detective Dalton. But nah, that was a wild thing. So it led me to ask, like, you know, if we as men had a situation with a woman at work, like, I don't know what could be, I don't know, like maybe sexual harassment, I don't know, like what, or just being picked on, I guess, I don't know, I don't know. But if we had a situation where we needed our women to come up there and handle that, would you do it? Like, would you call Shelby and be like, hey, this bitch keep trying, I know where you work, so I know there's nobody there. Are you gonna call Shelby on your stepmom or some shit? Like, what? Like, nah, you know? Maybe, you know, I don't wanna say her name because I don't know who it is, but you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I can, Shelby need to go out there and just roll the dice on that one. Whatever happened. Do it for me, really. Like, even that Shelby fuck with dog, just go out there for me, all right? But, yeah. Would you allow Shelby to do that? Like, put herself in that position?
No.
Okay. What would you do? Like, would you quit? Would you just...
I can generally handle my own issues.
Right.
Especially with shit like that. I would just probably stop associating with that person altogether.
But what if they're, like, picking on you, though, dog? What if they just come by and, like, slap you in the back of the head every day or something? I don't... See, that's the thing. It's really hard to, like... A woman has to want to fight a woman already. Like... And it's not going to be because the woman's picking on you. It's probably because the woman, your chick is going to be like, oh, that bitch like you. Or she found out some type of way that the girl flirting with you or you call her your work. That's why a woman would come up to your job. She'll be in a situation
where
at all.
Where she could be physically harmed in some way.
Okay, well, let me tell you the difference between me and you. First of all, I don't think I would call any of, like, I wouldn't call a chick that I was dealing with to come up there, first and foremost.
Yeah, you got hitters, though.
Yeah, that's why I was like, I'm not. Because
you could be like, bet, Cookie, what's up? Right? Bet, you could literally say bet.
Right? Yeah, for sure. I would like, it was like, okay, keep fucking around. Give me.
You
now,
to, okay.
The thing about it is, though, for me, Cookie is 6 hours away.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I would.
But they don't know that.
Yeah, it'll definitely have to be a setup type thing. Like, I'm going to catch you slipping 2 months when Cookie come down here for a summer vacation or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We're going to catch you at the.
Yeah, you're going to be like noted.
Yeah, we're going to catch you at the hookah spot and tour your ass up. But I think I'm more, as far as my significant other, I think I'm leaning towards your side. Like, I wouldn't want my significant other to be put in a situation, for one, her safety, like you said, and two, which might be one, you're not finna embarrass me if you get your ass mollywopped out here. Like, if you get mollywopped, then I'm like, especially if it's a chick that's crushing on you, and she now she feel superior, like, I could fuck you and I just beat your bitch up. Like, you need to do better, my nigga. Then I'm like, yo, well, she got a boy.
Wow. I was just bullshit. And you're like, wow, I'm going to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel about that whole work wife situation or work husband thing at your big age? You're just so, I feel like you understand the nuance of having a work wife or a work husband, but you still be like, nah, like, I ain't doing that at all. On your end, or, like, you would not allow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a real thing. There's always, like, the person you gravitate toward.
Yeah.
Like, I eat lunch with her because she's dope.
Yeah, she cool. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Or vice versa. Like,
Yeah, I didn't know if fucking all work more.
I did.
But it's never got to that point or anything.
Man, it's so weird because it usually does for me. I can only speak for me. And I've only worked a couple jobs where women were there. Like, you know, it's not like a boys club like type situation. And yeah, man, it started off like, hey, where does this go? Or can you help me put this up or something? And then where are you going for lunch? Do you want anything for lunch? And then it's like, yo, where's my number? Like, you know,
what do you want for dinner?
Bedrock. You know what I'm saying? It really haven't fat, but I think like it's a comfortability thing. And that usually being comfortable with a person is really wild. Because I definitely think you could. Now, maybe not like in the early 2000s, I feel like, but I wasn't working. I can only assume from how aggressive everybody used to be back in the day. But I feel like now it's like way easier to like have relations with women at work and keep it cool. Like, it ain't gonna be no issues or problems. Like, you know, not saying that I'm doing that now at all because I'm seeing someone, but I'm just saying in my past, definitely.
No, I've never had that.
As of now, though, I feel like it's all about the information that you choose to share with this person, too. That's very important. Because you can let somebody assume all the way till you assume them panties off. You know what I'm saying? And then it's like, wait, you had a girlfriend this whole time? Like, you didn't ask. And I didn't feel like, you know? Or
we just worked together.
Yeah, that's it. keep it like that, you know? But like, I'm sorry. It was very strange. It wasn't strange, but something happened last night. It wasn't nothing big or like disrespectful, but I could just tell if I don't nip that in the bud, like now, it's going to grow into something I don't want it to be. So,
wow.
I got to work last night and I was like on the forklift, like pulling pallets out the back of shit. You know what I'm saying? Just vibing in my own world. Nobody was back there at the time, like nobody I work with. But you know, the store associates, they come back there, throw trash away or shit that they didn't, whatever. They just bring shit to the back. So I see this girl that's been working there that works in front of the store. And I see she's making eye contact with me because she's standing with another girl who just started last night. So I guess she's making eye contact with me because I'm obviously making it back, but I'm guessing she's trying to figure out if she should tell me, yo, this is the new girl's first day and like show her the ropes or wait for one of our supervisors to come. Like, I could tell that's probably what she was thinking. So I got done doing what I was doing. I parked the forklift and then I hopped off and she was like, hey, have you seen your supervisor? And I was like, I think I'm here by myself, or at least in the back by myself. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, she's new. She just started today. So I was like, yo, Chris, nice to meet you. You know, you're going to love it here. JK. And then the girl that's been working there introduced herself. And I already like, and I didn't think about it, but I totally dismissed her. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I've already seen you before.
Yeah, okay, bitch.
No, I was like, yo, I've seen you before. She was like, really? When? I was like, at the front of the store. Like,
we work here.
Yeah, we work here. I see you. So I think she said her name, and I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm Chris, and, you know, easy. You know, nothing else. She came back there for something else and said something, and she was like, oh, my God, I'm ready to go. And I was like, yo, would you rather work in the front or the back of the store? Like, it can't be that taxing to work in the front. So he's like, yeah, I got to deal with customers and da-da-da. I was like,
it's mentally draining. Yeah,
yeah. I'm like, well, this is mentally and physically draining. So you pick your poison. It's really not it's not different.
That's retail for you, baby.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we had that exchange. Then she came back because she was like, well, I was supposed to leave at 7, and it was already like 8:30, and I was like, oh, well, you know, at least she got overtime. Mind you, I'm keeping everything right here, if you can see on camera. Like, I'm not, she was wearing Yeezys, 350s and all that. Like, I ain't make no conversation about nothing else other than work. So, we are walking opposite of each other. Like, she's going back, I'm going forward.
Okay.
And as she's walking past me, she holds out her hand to, like, dap me up. And I'm like, all right, you got way too comfortable, way too fast. I know where this is going. We can't be friends. Can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. So she was like, so you work overnight, right? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, well, I'll see you in the morning. I was like, oh, okay. True enough, seen her this morning. As I was leaving, she was at the registers, I guess, clocking in. And they give us phones at work because we got to scan the items and shit. So I was finna go take my phone 3 feet away from where she was standing. And she was like, hey, are you done with that phone? I was like, yeah. She was like, well, can I use it? I was like, I guess it's finna die, though. She's like, oh, okay. And she took it. I was like, man, you need to relax. You need to relax. I see all that. Anyways. In other news.
Wow.
What's up?
Nothing.
Juneteenth?
It's your day, baby.
It's my day. Oh, I gotta think of.
You told me to shut up in the intro. So
I was just bullshitting, man.
Just act like I'm not even here. You said you were gonna say the white people you hated. You never got to that.
I hate a lot of white people though, Dalton. Are we talking like?
I'm glad I'm in the select few you like. That's cool.
I hate them? I hate the white people that aren't aware. But then, like, I mean, obviously, I hate, like, there's certain white people that I feel like get a lot of ridicule that don't deserve it as much, personally.
Who's an example of that?
Rebecca Black. For Friday, that song Friday she did.
Oh.
They killed her.
Yeah, it was because, you know, the song, man. Yeah. But then no one was, like.
I just felt like that was a lot of pressure for a white girl.
That was definitely her parents doing.
Yeah, like, you know, but I don't feel like, what's my man name? Ghost Rider. What's his name?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah, he got a lot of hate, man. I don't think he's that bad of an actor. I'm totally doing, you used a white Jedi mind trick on me. Because I'm supposed to be saying to people I hate.
No, I didn't.
I said, and now all of a sudden, Nicolas Cage, I love that guy.
Look. Nicolas Cage doesn't get people say he does like random ass movies because it'll be like I work at a haunted carnival. You're like what? Mm. Like he'll do like random ass shit like that. But you know, Samuel Jackson says no to nothing.
Right.
He'll do whatever movie you throw his way.
I also feel like that's neither here nor there. Okay, white people that I hate. The list is so long. I don't even know. Should I start with like famous people or like people I know personally?
You don't have to do personally because that's a little different.
Are you scared you're gonna end up on the list?
No. Just
kidding. Famous.
That'd be a little
white people I hate. This has absolutely nothing to do. Well, I hate like a lot of her music. Taylor Swift. Yes. But it's not even because of the type of music she makes as far as like that pop country fusion thing or whatever. But that Shake It Off song has to be the most horrible song. Because I work in retail. I hear it every single day. So it's like there's like a little breakdown part where she's like kind of like rapping or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like white people should have left that little breakdown shit back in the 90s when they used to do that. Even it wasn't cool then. It's definitely not cool now.
I don't fuck with Taylor Swift at all.
But I like some of her songs, though. I do.
but the fuck she know about cameras?
Yeah, facts. Like,
I'm
and then, like, when it was, like, a rumor that her and Drake were dating and then, like, Drake was supposed to executive produce her next album, I was like, Drake, if you do this, you're finna lose a billion points with me. You could have wrote the most fire shit for Taylor Swift, too. Like, 40 could have did all the beats. She could have had some Boy Wonder beats on that motherfucker. I still would have been like, yo, what the fuck is this broccoli casserole, my nigga? We ain't doing none of that.
Raisins, yeah, and potato salad.
All that shit. The fuck out of here. White people I hate. You know what? Let me change this up a little bit, because what I realized is I don't pay attention to anything that I hate as far as white people go.
Right, you just ignore it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, yeah. Oh, obviously, like, you can almost close your eyes and throw.
And then you're like, doesn't surprise me. Move on.
Right,
moving on.
Right. Yeah. Like, you could close your eyes and spin around 18 times and hit the bullseye and say you hate that white bitch.
that white bitch.
What's her name? The white girl that's always like, so Beyonce did this, and the political white bitch.
Oh, you talk about
See, I don't even know her name no more.
Because they always butcher her name on purpose.
I'll block her shit.
Yeah.
While they was calling her something, it was a
Tammy character, or something.
Yeah, but anyway, whatever.
Yeah, she's mad annoying.
Yeah, man. I don't know about that at all. Yeah, I don't know. Any woman that acts like Skyler from Breaking Bad, would that be like in my personal life? Any woman that acts like her, yeah, you out of here.
Oh, boy.
Fuck out of here. I hate the Jewish guy. What's his name? He's white still, right? Jewish? If you're Jewish, you're white, right? We're just going to call it spade a spade. You're white. That Eazy-E was signed to?
Oh, okay.
I hate that nigga. Yeah, you broke up the motherfucking super
West group, Coast Avengers. West Coast Avengers,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you did that, motherfucker. So yeah, I hate that guy.
You start picking villains out,
right? People that you're supposed to hate.
I hate the Red Skull. I hate.
Yeah.
You start saying,
"Oh, Ben Shapiro."
Oh yeah,
I hate that nigga.
He's also an idiot too.
I will say this, the Crowder dude, when he was like, prove me wrong, I was a bit more accepting of him. But then, like, once his podcast or whatever the fuck he does got like more popular and I started watching it, I hate white people that talk like him, like in a, like everything, like condescending, sarcastic, like,
yeah,
but about topics that he talks about. Cause it's very like spit in your face type of shit. Like, you know, I spit in your face, but you can't tell if it was like on purpose or accident type thing. Like, he's like, well, yeah. So if you just put a bunch of black people in a neighborhood with guns, of course the guns are going to come. Like, if you talk like that, like, I hate that nigga, and they got him out of here. So that's cool. I'm sure if I like really just give him my all, I could just. But the white people that black people find like cool or whatever, it's really hard to hate them. Like, you love Jim Carrey. Like, you can't hate Jim Carrey. Robin Williams, the dude that plays House. I remember like everybody loved Kevin Spacey till that shit happened with him.
That was rough.
That was very rough.
You know what? Steve Carell.
Steve Carell.
Office, Anchorman.
Oh, we love him.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say you hate him.
No, hell
oh,
no.
Oh, okay.
No, he's a great example of a person who...
Unproblematic.
He just does his thing and stays out the way. He don't ever speak on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't ever try to go over, like... He just sits there, does a movie or a show, collects his paycheck, goes home like a normal person.
I appreciate the sentiment with that, but I feel like I spent too much time on white people trying to figure out who I hate and don't hate, because I'm sure there's the dude who's causing all this mayhem for the Mavs that Luka doesn't like.
Well, he's not white though.
What is he?
He's Hispanic.
Oh.
His last name is Vulgaris.
I thought that was like Slovakian or some shit. I don't know. I don't fucking know.
This racism is killing me inside.
Yeah. The niggas Hov was talking about on Izzo. I'm sure they were white, like the industry people. Fuck them, you know?
Do you like Lior Cohen?
He's...
That's a tough one, isn't it?
It's not tough because I understand his demeanor. If I didn't know who Lior Cohen was and I just seen him talking like Cash Money shit.
Yeah.
Like today, I was like, nigga, who the fuck are you? You're a guest. I know a white person I hate personally. Ooh, I'm finna do that.
You wanna air it out?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Hell, let's go.
But yeah, if I didn't know Lior Cohen, I would be like, who the fuck are you? But I mean, Nori respects him, so what are you gonna say to Nori? And all the shit he did for hip hop. And shit. I don't like him for making Kanye put that Breathe In, Breathe Out song on the album. Because if he didn't put it on there, they would...
Look, bro, that was his first album, though.
Yeah.
They didn't think Jesus Walk was going to work.
Well,
after it did, though, they did. I guarantee they didn't tell him nothing else.
Yeah.
You could do what the fuck you want.
Yeah. Facts. Oh, so the person I hate that's white, personally, and it's crazy because I don't even want to, like, air... Fuck it. I was on the phone with Miles the other day, and he was like, oh, somebody just sent me a beat. So I was like, oh, who? He told me who it was. It was a white guy, which I spoke about before on this podcast, a celebrity. The producer that used to work with, oh, I don't know, him and Tuesday are cool or whatever.
I think about it.
Because he's not popping. It's wild. So if you remember a couple years ago, it was a very long time ago. I know all my greatness happened earlier in my life, but there's times that I talk about whatever. But I'm still great, you know, just FYI. A lot of bullshit happened when I was younger because I didn't know how to navigate through the culture of Dallas artists.
Okay. Shit. Well, what's
that's the- my PC answer. I'm not going to be PC anymore. So if you remember a couple years back, I had won the producer of the year in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
So they were the people's names was on the list. Obviously, Miles was on there.
Yeah, yeah.
A bunch of people that are probably like super popping now, but you know, unless you're in a crowd, you're not really, you know. So celebrity, I think we were all talking about me winning or whatever on Twitter or something, and celebrity. White man his way into a conversation that had nothing to do with him. I guess his name was on the list, maybe, and he didn't win. I don't know. You're white. You're a guest in this culture. Don't forget that shit. I don't care who you were. Matter of fact, he's not even like purebred American white. I think he's from like Czechoslovakia or some shit.
Why is that Spanish? No, that's Russian. Why do you keep?
I don't know, because I feel like all the like super white people are from like Russia or some shit. I don't know.
Okay, go continue.
He probably Jokic's brother or cousin or some shit. But anyway, which Miles told me he wasn't like pure. I don't want to like incriminate their friendship or working together. It ain't got nothing to do with Miles, but Miles is the one who told me he's not like white.
Okay.
So I was like, or American white rather.
Uh-huh.
So he was like, I never really, and Miles pulled up the tweet. So when he pulled up the tweet, not like on Twitter, but like, you know, you at the person's name and then type in, so like he said, Chris. So he pulled up the tweet and I was like, I don't remember what he said. So Miles pulled up the tweet and he was like, I never really cared for Chris's beat, but I respect the hustle though. And then he mentioned somebody else that was like, he felt better. That was better than me. That was on the list. I was like, I never even heard of these guys. Like, you've heard of me and you don't like my, but that's fine. Like music, younger me, of course I took that with extreme
prejudice.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're white. And you say, I like my music. Like, fuck you, white boy. You know? But I just felt like you didn't have to do that. Like, I never said anything to you or about you. And I really do, like, for real, I feel like as a white man, in anything, well, music in particular, especially hip hop, we got to invite you. We got to deem you cool. You got to have some salsa flavor. You got to use the break dance or some shit. Like, you had to prove yourself.
Yeah.
Like, before we was, you know, Rick Rubin. you did coke with Russell Simmons in the 80s or whatever. Like, you're stamped, nigga. It don't matter what you do from here on out. You broke the Beastie Boys, Run DMC, LL Cool J. Like, you did some shit.
Yo.
Well, we accept you.
Yeah, you walk around barefoot, dude.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The Beastie Boys, like, they held their own with Run DMC and LL Cool J. Like, Eminem, earlier Marshall. You know what I'm saying? Huge. I still, yo, off subject for a second. I listened to Forgot About Dre again. You know how I feel about that verse.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know why he spazzed like that.
He went crazy. I don't know why he did.
I listened to that shit last night. Like, Jesus Christ. But anyways, so yeah, like, you got it. Lior Cohen, Adrian Wojnarowski or whatever the fuck. Like,
40.
40. Yeah, you have to do something. And at that point in time, especially then, like, I was way more aware of the landscape of Dallas because there weren't very many of us.
Yeah, that's true.
So I know Gun doing his thing, Trey, who else was like, Pop Brandon, obviously.
Crit Life,
you know.
ADD Plus. They were,
like,
still together then, yeah.
At that time, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was a smaller community, so we understood the mission. And for you to come out of nowhere and say that, like, yeah, I have an affinity for how much I hate you. Like, it really ain't even, like, I don't even care about what you said at the point. It's the fact that you had the gall to say it. Like, you have an opinion, and it's fine. But for you to do it publicly, you trying to score points off my name after we already built this culture. And you trying to get points off my back. Suck my dick. So, yeah, that's one white person I hate. But we can meet. We can fight. We can never talk again. And I'm still going to feel the same way. Like, there's no respect there. Like, I just did not respect that. Now, if we would have said it today, I still will feel the same way, but I wouldn't be as like, oh, fuck you till you die. And then I'm like, okay, that's how you feel. But no, like, fuck you. Like, you don't like my music. We have no reason to talk. No reason to communicate, especially on Twitter.
Yeah.
I only talk to people that I like fuck with every day or people that do music and we respect what we're doing. Like, so for you to even follow me or even do it, like, for what? Like, are you just watching? Do you want your follower count to sit at a certain spot? Like, why are we following each other? You don't even fuck with why I'm on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, fuck you. Yeah.
Well, that was a fun trip down memory lane.
Suck my dick, celebrity.
Oh, that's his name.
His moniker or whatever.
Oh, I didn't. I thought that was like a placeholder. I didn't know that. I don't.
No, his name is Celebrity, but he spells it like.
I don't know who that is.
Tuesday's the only person that's seen this man in person. I don't know this nigga. I don't even know.
Tuesday, it's because Tuesday's an enigma. So yeah, he knows the other enigmas.
Yeah. That nigga is from goddamn.
Tuesday should enjoy this story.
Every time I see Tuesday, I'm like, why you still fuck with that white boy, man? I say that shit every time, bro.
I can't wait till they ask you the question about me.
What you mean?
Someone tells you, hey, Chris, you still fucking with that white dude?
Bro, but that's the thing about you in particular. Like, first of all, you think I would have fucked with a white person for 10 plus years if you brought value to my life? I can say that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like, I'm the reason you're not your wife. If I wasn't a piece of shit back in the day and, like, pulled you to spots where we were doing coke in the bathroom and shit.
This is a wild full circle moment.
I'm just saying, we brought value to each other. Like, I called this nigga to ask, yo, which laptop should I buy? And I introduced you to your wife.
There is not a single person in my circle that does not bring value to my life in some capacity.
That's how it should be.
You would not be here.
Yeah.
In my home.
Right.
You know?
I think I bring a little bit more value.
I wouldn't talk to you every day.
If you didn't bring
value to my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So facts. I think, you know, and plus, and we're talking about inviting white people into the culture thing. Like I said, everybody who's ever spoke about Dalton has been a black person and they spoke highly of him. And there's people that everybody likes or listens to or respect. Miles, like, Miles even, you know, sending you that kite on your birthday out of nowhere. Like, Brandon, like, bro, Dalton put me in studio. He got me set up on this. He took me there. He did that. Like, anybody that's black would come and say, like, hey, yo, Dalton has been a true ally. You know what I'm saying? Not just because our culture is cool and it's the easiest to get points off of, but, like, he literally put in the work. And not just with me. Like, even Ridge not being black will tell you that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, nah, anybody come at Dalton around there, you know what I'm saying? You finna get this shitty bang bang, nigga.
Well, I appreciate it.
That's a fact. Nigga, I can't speak for every white person I know, but I can speak for you. Like,
I can speak for you.
That's a fact. C-Talk, another ally. Really respect that guy. Just because he is an ally, and when I needed him most, he came and delivered. I think you were definitely there.
Yeah.
Jimmy was there, and I don't think Jimmy was even dunking. I was like, bro, I got a white boy that put you on your ass. C-Talk came to the court with two bum knees, dunking on these niggas. I was like, yeah, we got a Dirk Nowitzki of our own, nigga. Hell yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I needed him the most then, but it was cool to brag about.
Yeah. I got somebody for you.
Yeah, yeah. Facts, nigga. Yeah. C-Talk, come who, man?
You're at Cravens Park.
No, we went to Tyree.
Tyree Park, yeah.
Yeah. C-Talk came up there, worked them niggas. We won that game too. I mean, obviously we won every game we played, because I mean, you know, anyways. C-Talk came last summer when Jesse and I were going to do like a little docuseries. We shot like over an hour worth of footage.
Oh, yeah. Him and Ashley came.
Shout out to Ashley. She's also an ally, you know what I'm saying? They both came and sat there and listened to black people tell them what's wrong with white people. And there were only two white people there. So I felt like it was... And I didn't mean to put them in that position. I mean, obviously, they were there... They weren't even there to be like, yo, we understand why white people do... Like, they're like, bro, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Y'all need to tell us what y'all need us to do to help y'all, like, that, further the agenda and all that
those
shit.
Those conversations are important.
Extremely. And I, you know, that was way more important than C-Talk coming and dunking on. But I was just, you know, saying it wasn't as fly of a story, I guess.
Yeah.
But see, they definitely came and we chopped it up for like an hour in my backyard. Ridge Dev came, Parnell, Dior, C-Talk, Jesse, Ashley. I feel like I'm missing like two more people, but either way, Vance pulled up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like somebody else pulled up too, but either way, we were all in my backyard. It was hot. It was around this time. Well, no, it might have been July already when all the protests and shit started last year. So yeah, we were all just chopping it up about that, and I hit him on like and Ashley, like, her car was in the shop. She knows she was gonna get it back. She still found her way there and everything. So like, we were going to do it at the park of it, the gazebo, but like the moms that work out together, there was like 15 of them. They were all up there working out and shit.
So you're like,
let's just go to my house.
The backyard.
Yeah. It had a cooler and ice and water and shit. We just trying to do something. I felt like Dr. Umar that day.
You kept repeating everything twice.
Yeah. I know what I want to talk about. God damn it. I need a shot for this. I got to get that, but I don't want to get off camera. Shelby, I'm sorry. Can you bring the bottle, please?
Wow, are you asking my wife?
It's just because I didn't want to fuck up the continuity. Like, if I get up and just go away, you know what I'm saying?
It's fine.
You're not our assistant or anything. I just didn't want to get up and ruin the shot. I appreciate you, you black queen. Matter of fact, pour yourself a shot too, you know what I'm saying? We celebrating Juneteenth. We finna make Dalton go back to Rudy's.
No, not today. Not bullshit. Today.
Yeah,
it's going to be way too crazy.
Speaking of which, tell them where we went last week.
We did go to Rudy's.
All right, then I told y'all niggas we was going to Rudy's. Y'all ain't believe me. Dalton White put them baby doll eyes on you, nigga.
But you know what? I really went for to prove a fucking point.
Oh, yeah.
And the point was proven.
Yeah, it was definitely proven. So, Tupac's birthday was the other day.
Yeah. It would have been 50, right?
50. Shout out to Tupac, man. I did not appreciate his music as a child. When I grew up, I appreciated it way more.
Because, it's really not for the kids.
It's not. Yeah. Like, I, like, Not. And another thing about Tupac, I don't think he get enough credit for his beat selection. Now, I'm not saying the beats were made the best, but one thing I found about sampling that I just realized, I was talking on the phone with Ryan, is not finding obscure samples that nobody's really heard of song. It's really about
just how you flip that bitch.
Thank you. It's really about it's really about
Oh yeah, there you go. They just took a shot. Crisp.
It's really about getting like popular songs and flipping them, like Kanye with the Jackson 5 thing. But Tupac was good at taking like very familiar samples, but not, it wasn't going to be like, they would have been on like the top 20, but not in the top 10 songs, right? So the one joint, I can't call it right now. But anyways, Tupac songs, he picks really good, or beat selection. But anyways, the other day was Tupac's birthday. And Jada Pinkett Smith, she keeps, like, like at this point, bro, she has to know, because she sees everything else on Twitter, right? Or she sees everything else that works in the media. So she has to know every time Tupac comes up that is going to be an issue. Like, not an issue, but, you know, it's gonna start a pot. So she never before handwritten poem from Tupac. And I was like, at first when I seen it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. But then after seeing so many people talk about it and going back, I was like, damn, that paper do look brand new. Like, you would think you had a piece of paper for like 20 years or something. Unless she preserved it or something, which she probably did. Like, apparently, her love for this man is extremely prominent. Like, it's not going anywhere. She repped Tupac more than Diddy repped Biggie. Diddy repped Biggie. Yeah, that just sounded weird when I said
that. Yeah, she basically said, like, if he was still alive, I would not be with Will.
And that's the thing, bro. And then they put up a letter that Willow allegedly wrote as when she was a child. Like, Tupac, I know you're still... I know that was fake. Because me even biting the... I took the bait on that.
You took the bait.
I was like, yo, wait, what? Because it started off saying, like, Tupac, I know you're still alive. And if you could just come back and make mommy happy. I know somebody wrote that shit. It wasn't Willow. It couldn't have been. No way. If it was Willow...
That hurts, man.
Bro, but yeah, because... I feel like Will, even if Jada and Will aren't the best, we'll never know because of Will. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he gonna play that shit super cool. I feel like Will, especially seeing how he got into Instagram out of nowhere, that was huge. That was a sign. That's a man going through a midlife crisis who's been famous his whole life, or like most of his life. To me, because you were not on social media at all.
Yeah.
Big Willie style is more like medium Willie style now. You know what I'm saying? So you need to come back bigger than life. Nigga bungee jumped. The nigga jumped out of an airplane and nigga doing all this shit. And at the time, he's just like, oh, look how cool Will is. But it's really like refinding yourself. You starting to see yourself for yourself and not that I've been a couple with this person since I was 20 or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got to find out who I am and what makes me happy and how I want to be loved and who I want to, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like Jada was just moving out here like a snake, man. Like a snake. How you fuck with August Alsina out of all the popping niggas?
Yeah, let's say we all watched the Red Table Talk.
You fucking with that nigga, you know, this whole Tupac shit every year. It's like, bro.
But it wasn't cheating. It was an entanglement, Chris.
Look. I never want to hear that word again, first and foremost. Second of all, I'm just like, bro.
That boy said an entanglement?
Jada isn't happy with Will. Give him back to us. That's just how I feel. Because I feel like Will is a loyal, stand-up dude. Of course, he probably did his dirt too, but shit, my wife doing this shit, nigga. You don't think there's a chick from Philly that Will used to fuck back in the day before he became D. Will's Fresh Prince that probably passed or something. You don't see this nigga bringing her up every time. You know what I'm saying? People, you know. I'm just saying. I just don't think that's fair that he has to go through that publicly every single time. It's like the Kim and Kanye thing. Like, you know, a nigga like me, I was like, Kanye can't do no wrong. Kanye did wrong. Yeah, with Kim. I feel like the only good thing that came from that
was their children.
Was their children. Yeah. And the fact that she was holding it down. She helped him get out of debt, which is very important. But I just feel like that whole thing is like, you can't take a nigga and put him into that later in life. Because we able to call bullshit early, like quicker than we were when we were younger. And then, but I'm in this shit now. And I'm not in it because of like keeping up with the Kardashians or Red Table Talk or you got to a little band. Like whatever, Jada. Jada was a hot it girl in the 90s or whatever. But Will was the nigga. There was not a nigga bigger than Will back then.
Bro, music, movies.
Yeah, like he was bigger than life. He was bigger than life. So, you know, there's very few times we get to come on the podcast and actually advocate for a man when he's being done wrong in a relationship. It's just simply, I just feel like Will, Kanye, there's two guys, you know. Now, like, for instance, like, let me just give an example. Like, when Jay and B was going through that thing, Jay can't, yo, I cheated. Solange beat me up in the elevator. Like, he laid that shit all out. So we couldn't be like, well, ho, Mida and Beyonce could. Nah, it wasn't none of that. It wasn't none of that. You know what I'm saying? You got allegations about Kim stepping out on. Step out on Ray J. Step out on that. Who the niggas? Chris Humphries. Step out on them niggas. You do not step out on the nigga who made My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. You just don't do that. These bitches do not appreciate that, man. They don't appreciate greatness like that, bro. Okay. You heard? I just like, come on, man.
Look, with that relationship, that one makes more sense to fall apart to me.
Kim and Kanye?
Yeah, because especially how Kanye is as a person.
Yeah.
The novelty of that situation and everything that comes with marrying into that family probably wears thin very quickly.
Yeah.
But
the thing, Kanye loved her since forever. Like, he's always knew, like, I like this girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And obviously, you can have an affinity.
Because he had I never been to Japan. I'll take you.
Yeah.
Like, that was before they even got together. Like, yeah. But you don't know it until you in it. Like, yeah. he knew, oh, she bad.
And he knew of the what's going on around it.
Yeah, but he was like.
That almost, in a strange way, now I'm able to look back on it, that almost made, it didn't almost, it made Kanye human. I mean, in a mythological hero type of way. You know what I'm saying? Of course he's human.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've seen him start to dress down in public.
He started a family.
Yeah, but like it made him human. It made him like touchable. I felt like before all that, like Drake would not dare come at Kanye like that. You wouldn't. Like you can't. What's the angle? Like you can't say the nigga can't rap. Can't say the nigga can't make beats. You can't say the nigga can't dress. You can't say the nigga can't hoop. I know you saw that when he gave that wheelchair team like 130 points.
Get out of here.
But for real though, like it made him human. And he was already in the public eye, but imagine being in the public eye when you're not the person anymore or some shit. Like I guess I can empathize with it because he's my hero. Like anybody else, but Will for sure. Nah, I think that marriage started. I think the marriage is what kind of because think about it, bro. Think about how polar opposite Tupac and Will Smith are.
Oh yeah.
So then think about what Jada loves Pac for. How serious, like thought provoking, poetic, thug, bald. Like
bald. I don't know where that came in there, but sure.
Will Smith, flashy, Big Willie style, Fresh Prince, light skin, good hair, like
safe rap.
Safe.
Parents just don't understand.
To get with a woman that went from, it's that meme come to life. Oh, don't worry about him, babe. He's just a nerd. Oh, I'm going to show you. Yeah. And then she come back out of here. Hey,
get away from me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
I hate
but
that.
But it's the same thing. Like, to me, it's just Will got the girl because he was the nigga at the time Tupac just passed. You know what I'm saying? But I can imagine Jada already being the type of person she was going to be. You know what I'm saying? Because of the performing arts school, because Tupac was the biggest thing and he was going to be in a Will Smith type of, he wasn't picking like the best movies to do, but I figured by the time the technology caught up with,
he would have been around, man.
Yeah, he would have been around.
He would have been around for sure.
Like acting and all that shit.
Mm-hmm, all the way.
So he was on track to become what Will did. Like that, Tupac could have been an Independence Day. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Just put a nigga right there.
But, I mean, Baby Boy would have been an entirely different movie.
Baby Boy would have been an entirely different movie. Like, so
we would have had Tupac in Fast and Furious.
Facts. Facts.
Imagine that right now.
I don't, yeah, maybe, yeah.
They just wouldn't have made him a comedic character like Roman.
Yeah,
but he would have been, yeah. I'm saying, though, he would have been in them bitches. John Singleton would have put him in the movie.
Oh, the second one. Yeah, he did the second
because
one.
Because that's where Tyrese came in. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It would have
he would have continued from there. Oh, yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I feel you. But yeah, just imagine being polar opposite and then Jada probably putting that on Will, in a sense.
And I guarantee 100% being married that behind closed doors in their household, these arguments have probably had a part where Jada was like, boy, if Pac was still here, this would not be happening right now. Because you can't, I guarantee we can't imagine what the arguments sound like in right. behind closed doors. That the things that kids have probably heard from
them. Yeah.
Now, both their kids have done really well for themselves. They're really...
All three. Trey, you know, he wasn't. You know what I'm saying? But don't want to.
But I'm just saying the two kids that from the her.
Music and art and shit.
But they're like very independent. They're very different children. But they didn't know they have done no fuck shit. You know, they didn't wild out, go crazy.
Yeah.
His oldest son definitely hasn't. But but the two that they had together, I just can't imagine what they've heard, you know.
And to be honest, we're just speculating and, you know, no relationship is perfect. And we understand that. But what I'm saying is when you're a public figure like Will Smith and you go from being the best, one stellar performances to putting out Gemini Man, it's some shit going on, fam. Gemini Man, you know what that told me? There's a split in the house.
And now you're thinking way too deep.
Will Smith is now torn between the Fresh Prince Will Smith and the adult Will Smith.
Mm, okay.
Because he's being pulled apart.
Okay. All I know is we just need to stop doing that on Pac's birthday.
Yeah.
Because it should be about Pac. Shouldn't be about Jada. It should be about Will.
And it wasn't about Pac this year. Like, I feel like we should have...
50, man. He would have been
50. Yeah, and we should have took the time to appreciate...
Celebrate life.
The music, bro. Like, again, when we were children, like, my cousin Drew, man, her mom, huge Tupac fan, had a picture bigger than that on her wall of Tupac. Like, nose ring and all. And I'm like, y'all niggas like Tupac?
Bro, Tupac, I mean, look, back then, it was one of two things.
Yeah.
It was either going to be a picture of Biggie or a picture of Tupac.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was the Malcolm X and
yeah, it really was. But it was just like, it really was like a preference thing too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but now that we are the age we are now.
Yeah.
You understand. I appreciate both of them.
Yeah,
a lot,
facts.
But like.
But they're two different things. Like Tupac is the, like, I don't know if you've seen this picture, because usually like only black grandmothers have this picture, but it's a picture of Barack, Malcolm, and Martin, And
I've seen on the timeline for sure.
Obama was the, like, Malcolm's the thinker, so he's like doing the thinker pose. And I think Martin was the dreamer, and Barack was the change.
Yeah.
And it says that under their pictures, and they all got different poses. But like, that's who Tupac was. He was even though he had that side of him where, you know, say I'll beat a nigga up, spill camera, da da da, he still changes. Like, yeah, or Brenda's got a baby.
His message never changed, though.
Yeah, like, he wanted the betterment of his people, no matter what. And we got to be radical, then we got to be radical. He'd rather not be radical, but y'all bring that up out of a nigga. I could dig that. Biggie was more of the flashy, I could put these words together really, really well, listen to my flow, I'm laid back, jazzy, fly, all that shit. And it's crazy that, what, Tupac died at 25, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Biggie died at 24.
Mm-hmm.
Biggie didn't know how to drive. I just heard that.
Well, he's from New York, so...
It doesn't matter, but still, it's like, I don't feel so bad. But I'm also not Biggie, so, you know.
We also have a subway, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure even when they was riding around, like, I mean, shit.
He rich. He never had it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to drive.
I kind of drive it, baby.
Yeah, but... Yeah, man, and that was a sample I was talking about earlier too, because that change did change. I see no changes. That sample, I don't know who sings the original, but they play that at Lowe's every day. And he said that's just the way it is, but he don't sing it as cold as the dude they probably got. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a soul song. Yeah. That's such a 90s. That is such a 90s style song.
That's just the way it is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was the.
I wake up in the morning and I have myself. Like, I'm living shit up. Blast
Yo,
myself.
Pac's best verse, no lie, is on I Get Around, bro. He fucking murdered
Yeah, he
flooded.
Yeah, he definitely flooded.
I don't know what happened in that session, but he had a lot of fun in that shit.
And it was just fun.
Round and round.
And it was like when he was leaving Death Row and like he was, you know.
I get around.
Yeah.
Step up. Step up.
That shit hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to Digital Underground. Rest in peace to
RIP, man.
Humpty Dumpty, man. Cool. No rush. I know it ain't no rush, nigga. Juneteenth, man. So they, they
dive right in.
They paraded this, you know. They called. What pander? What's the word that you use in the car?
They made like a spectacle.
Made a spectacle of this. They said,
made me sick, bro. That made me sick.
And Nancy Pelosi's always at the front of this shit. Like, everybody was
she
on her
dick. She is a quintessential old white woman.
Yeah.
Who's trying to be, like,
she
the
wore
cool
a
kente, white woman.
She wore a kente cloth or whatever.
And then took a knee.
Kente cloth. And then she, the only moment everybody, like, that she should, okay, this was a cool, cute moment is when she did the little clap. Outside of that, what if she does? Like, all she does is make a spectacle of black people. I can imagine black people are putting the pressure on her, though. Like, she always with like the NAACP or some shit. They always together. But at the same, at first I was with it, right? Like, I'm like, okay, yeah, cool. They recognizing it. But then everybody kept saying the same argument. There's so many states are taking the history out of school or whatever.
The critical race theory is what you're talking about, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, if the schools aren't going to teach it, we got to teach ourselves. Like, we have to teach the children. We have to do that. Like, they never taught us anything anyways.
Yeah.
All they told us was Martin Luther King had a dream.
The civil rights movement is like
it. That's it.
They give you like a week.
Rosa Parks.
Yeah.
Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
The bus boycott.
They start with slavery, then go to civil rights movement.
They didn't teach us anything.
They barely even cover Jim Crow.
Yeah. And so all the history that most people know about black people in America.
Secondhand knowledge.
It's 2021. We didn't have an historic, and I hate to have to use that, but it was George Floyd. That was historic. Trayvon, Michael Brown. We didn't have all these cases.
Yeah, see now though.
This shit's
all documented in real time now.
Yeah.
So but because they're old textbooks are created by companies, you know. Yeah. And they're like, or the curriculum is created by the state as well, especially a state as racist as Texas is.
Come on, man.
So they're gonna, of course, they're gonna try to make themselves like. Tell me if this is not true for you. When you grew up, did you think Texas won the Alamo? The Battle of Alamo. Did you think they won?
Probably so. Yeah.
Because when I was a kid, the textbook frames it as Texas won.
They retreated
at the
though, right?
Alamo. All that happened was the fort didn't fall, but they lost the battle. Then they won the next one at Santa Ana on the border.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is they frame things to make certain things look a certain way. So they will omit certain parts of history they don't want to share.
Yeah. And
they do that very frequently in history classes.
Yeah. Like very history frequently. Is probably the most, you know, math is fact based. You know what I'm saying? Like you can't
math and science. Yes.
Yeah, you can't get away from how they
one plus one is two.
Right.
Maybe, yeah.
History. You like, but they've been omitting parts of history forever.
But like you said, it is up to us.
It's up to us
as individual and parents.
Now, what do you want? Now, what do you want your child to know? Like, how deep are you willing to go? There's things I'm still finding out about our history.
Because there's always gonna be stuff that
we just didn't know.
Oh yeah,
and a black woman made the 3D
projector,
especially
outside of like our state or like maybe even like in Canada. You don't know those types of things.
I didn't know a black woman made a 3D projector. I didn't know that until like 2 days ago. But see, the thing about trying to get your information from social media is a lot of the things are regurgitated because they know it's going to get them retweets.
Yes.
The very first, and I'm going to use this as an example. The very first time I saw the tweet ever on my timeline of, you know, rest in peace to all the friends we lost when we were kids. We didn't forget about y'all. That hit like a ton of bricks because there was a girl, her name was Brittany Smith, black girl. She died of asthma.
Oh wow.
While I was in third grade. And she was the only friend at that age that any of us had lost. Like, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's elementary. We don't even know. Death hit us at Bryan Elementary. Facts. But so when I saw that tweet, it made me think about her. And I was like, damn, we didn't have social media back then to say rest in peace. Or we didn't have no way to, you know, keep her name alive back then because we were children.
Yeah.
And so the first time I saw that tweet, I was like, hell yeah, I resonate with this. This need 100 million. You know what I'm saying? And it did pretty good from what I remember because it was like 3 years ago when I first saw it. But now I see it so often and it's not the same person that tweeted it. It's not the same tweet that's being shared.
Yeah.
Somebody did it again. I'm just like, okay, that bothered me because of how wholesome seeing it for the first time made me feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But using that as an example is saying like every black, I guess I could have just used this Black History Month thing, but that was on my mind to share. But we regurgitate the same history of black people. Oh, George Washington Carver made peanuts or peanut butter. And all. Yep. Like, and they just, if Pharrell didn't do that movie with Taraji P about the three black women who got at the rocket.
Yeah.
And NASA and everything.
And even that, it has the white savior problem in the movie.
I didn't see it. I just was like, I was happy for those women getting there. So yeah. I was cool with seeing it.
That was highly unknown that
there was three black women
that helped with the space program.
Yeah. So I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? But like, there's so much shit we don't know. And I just feel like the Super Soaker guy. Or Famous Amos is a black-owned company, and yeah. Marvin Gaye gave him money to start it up. Like, mm-hmm. there's just so much shit we mm-hmm. don't know. And because of that look at me, see me thing, like, there might be some knowledge we dropped on like, we could talk about how leather's processed in a way that nobody's ever seen it explained on Twitter. And you and I or any of our friends would tweet it, it'll probably get upwards of 20 likes or whatever the case may be because it's new information. But once somebody takes that and flips it and remixes it and all that shit and it goes up, I mean, cool. But then again, like I said, that's just going to be the information that we keep seeing forever and ever and ever and ever. Like, it's just, long story short, it's going to take us. And I don't see what the fuss is about. And I really don't see no need to complain about Juneteenth becoming a national holiday and the fact that they're taking it out of schools and all that because, like, it's up to us. But we have to spread the right information. But who the fuck am I? I dropped out of school.
You know what I'm saying? Well, twice. I mean, but just as an adult and a parent, like, which I will eventually be. Mm-hmm.
An adult and you'll eventually be an adult and a parent.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'll eventually be a parent.
Right.
But are any generation or older, when you pass down to the next, you're supposed to pass the knowledge down. Mm. You're not, especially in different cultures and stuff. You're supposed to let them know where they came from, what happened here, there, and so on. Especially with me, since I'm going to have biracial children.
She's biracial.
I'm definitely letting them know about that song.
But, right.
moment of history right there. It is very important to me that I definitely let them know all of the information they possibly would need to know between me and their mother, right? And right. then I want to be able to be accessible for if they have those hard questions that parents don't like to be asked,
yeah,
that I can answer them, and that they do know all the, like, this is not just that. Like, when they go to hit, what did you learn in class today?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, what's his name?
Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
Not that shit. Oh. But
I'm just trying to give you a topic.
Abraham Lincoln. Like, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves.
Right.
That's where the book will just end it at.
Yeah.
Like, he freed the slaves.
Own slaves, fucked them.
But I'm okay. Okay.
I had black, but do you know, black
I'm going to tell him why he did that.
Yeah.
Not, I'm going to give them extra excerpts. And if they're writing papers, I'm going to make sure that they write the correct information. So
let me interject right quick, mm-hmm. because we're talking about passing down the information, right?
Yeah.
And so one thing that just struck me about my age group, right? I'll say the cutoff would be probably about 25, 26,
mm-hmm.
for them to receive more knowledge than our age people got. Like, Zach knows way more at his age than I did about the way the world is working, right?
Mm-hmm. Information's more available.
Right. And plus his parents not passing down the information, but see, this is the thing about the older black generation. And they're not at fault for this because it was a survival. It's survival for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's still survival, but obviously it was way more back then. Like, it dawned on me that black people didn't pass down, like, that financial literacy part of life. Possibly, it's just a theory, because they were handing down life lessons to keep the next generation say, because they saw no end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
You're born into this beast and all you see is the beast. You don't know that there's going to potentially be a day where we're going to be able to use the same fucking water fountain. All you know is, yo, you see a white man, you look down, or you do this, don't whistle at a white woman, don't the man's gonna try to pimp you this way when you're working at a, where, you know, like, just life lessons. Like, my dad, in particular, born in 56, never told me anything about money until later. Extremely later. And it also hurt me in a very, spoiled way, I guess, that I didn't have to think about it because my mom would throw me money every day. You know what I'm saying? I didn't have to think about saving money when I could just ask my mom for more money, which is something that I'm dealing with today. But as a my mom didn't really teach me about like the birds and bees or no shit. You know, it was like go to school, get good grades, so you get a good job. Like that was her thing. Like that was it. Which is most black moms at, for my age or that was born at that time, 50, 56, like 58 and prior. But my dad has always been the one that passed like the this is the way the world works information. Not necessarily go get your bank and go get a bank account, check and save his I call you about all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not saying I can't ask my dad about it now.
Yeah.
But you know, just don't we don't have those type of conversations. So like I'm able to talk to my dad more about some bullshit I didn't like at work. We could talk about that all day. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
He gonna have stories.
Yeah, and yeah. and we can share this how you handle that, this how you do that. I've been through that. But it's never like, yo, Pop, I wanna go get a $45,000 house or some shit. I don't know, you know? It ain't gonna be that. You know what I'm saying? It's just not. That's not where our conversations lie. And that comes from not feeling like it's not safe to have those conversations. But that's just where our shit's at. Like life, women. Like dealing with women, dealing with men, dealing with work, dealing with the white man at the store, like whatever, like just dealing with shit. Like first time I ever been pulled over in my life. Well, I was in the car because I never drove, but first time I experienced police officer. I was with my dad. We were going to the dump and we were driving. He had a 2-door red and black Chevrolet. Old school joint. Very nice. I remember that truck. Had the little cloth interior, one seat thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
No AC.
Comfortable, though.
Oh, yeah. But you can hear every sound that truck makes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I don't think the AC worked, or maybe he just didn't have it on, but the windows were down. I know we had a towel. It was like a towel in between me and him. That's all I know it is, right?
Hell, yeah.
So the cop pulled my dad over. Instant fear, shock. What do we do? Came over my body, and I was a child, and I felt those things. Just hearing boogeyman stories about the police.
Yeah.
So my dad, and then you know my dad. He not biting his tongue for nobody. Nobody. He gonna tell you how he feel. I saw how my dad was talking to that cop. I remember it because it was the same way he talked to anybody today.
Yeah.
And I always look at my dad like that. You don't have to talk to the telemarketer people like that. Like, just hang up the phone. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be rude. But he don't give a fuck. And I applaud that. He has no fear.
He lives life, man.
Yeah. So he was talking to the cop, a white cop, like, nigga, I pay your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't you here to serve me. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think he got a ticket or anything, and we drove off. And I remember I picked that towel up, and I was like, my dad was like, what you wiping yourself up for? They pulled me up. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I was scared for you.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just here, man.
Yeah, was... like, but I say all that to say, like, those situations, you know what I'm saying? So I think it, like what you were saying, it is extremely important to teach our children not only how to, like, just live and maintain, but how to also flourish in life.
Yeah, and I feel like also very important for people in our age group as well. We are better at passing off information. However, one thing we did have happen with all this access to information, one is misinformation.
Facts.
And then, which is a big one, if people read it once, they think it's fact and they repost it without fact checking it first.
Facts.
That's one. Two, I have also found that with the access to information, some people are reluctant to share certain things as well because they feel like the exclusivity of it or what have you. Like for instance, a food spot, you know, look at these wings I bought. Someone asks, where'd you get those wings at? fuck you.
Yeah, I'm not telling you. Okay. Find them on your own. I had to find them on my own.
That's a very basic version of it. But
yeah,
they do that with other stuff. So if you know mm-hmm. something that could be beneficial to other people, share it. Like, I see I read post stuff like that all the time. This chick, unprovoked, nothing happened that day. She just posted all these phone numbers for, like, it was, like, mental disorder. It was, like, all these different numbers for, like, different types of mental health.
Yeah.
And she was like, there's a number for all these. Here they are. I was like, well, that's helpful.
Yeah. Retweet. Thanks. Thanks.
Nothing happened that day, but I was like, shit, someone could bookmark this and, like, keep it. Like, because you never know when you might need that information.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that existed. But I'm saying is, there is, if you know something that's unique or rare, or like maybe something no one's ever thought of, just share it. You don't have to be like, no, I'm the keeper of this knowledge. So
yeah.
If you want it, you got to come to me.
man, bring up one of my goats, man, Chappelle. If I could talk about him every day, I would, because I feel like he obviously he's just a master at this talking.
No, yeah, for sure. He has...
His mom is a teacher, so it makes sense. Yeah,
he has the gift of gab, man, for sure.
So he won the Mark Twain Award maybe a year or two ago. So, you know, everybody get up there and they sing his praises as he deserves. Chance the Rapper's in the crowd crying. Chance is such a... Man, get...
What a character.
I never wanted anybody to get back on drugs more than...
That's a wild statement.
Acid is safe, though.
I'm just saying, that's a funny statement. I never wanted someone to get back.
I need that back, bro. But anyways, beautiful family, though, Chance. Beautiful. So his mom had told him that he was... There's a word for it in, like, the African culture, but all the history and knowledge of that tribe would be given to one person to carry on to the next.
Yeah, the storyteller.
A scribe or something like that. And I think it started with a G. I can't remember the exact word. I want to find it. I'll tweet it with the podcast, though. But she told him that's what you are. You're able to hold everything in and tell it back perfectly and all that. And I was like, damn, for your mom to see that in you is such a young guy. Because look, while we're on the subject of Dave Chappelle, look how goofy he used to look.
yeah.
In the 90s.
Uh-huh.
I never thought the wisdom and knowledge and just pizzazz that he holds would exude this way.
Yeah.
It's when he started, I just didn't. But that was when everybody, we didn't know the other side of the people. All we knew was Robin Williams does silly faces and Dave Chappelle had the dreads and Nutty Professor. And, you know, so we didn't know how intelligent these people actually were. Not even just thought provoking, but emotionally intelligent these people were. So, yeah, she called him that and he broke down what that meant. I was just like, damn, like I said, for your mother to see that in you at such a young age and all this knowledge that you do hold and able to tell these stories and everything, that's a dope thing to have in the industry. Like, the information that he could pass, you know what I'm saying? That what he knows, because he does seems like he just knows a bunch of random shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which I'm sure is more people like Hove is another person that seems like he just has an abundance of knowledge that he could just... At a dime.
Pull out, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Which Hove is definitely my hair inspiration. I'm definitely trying to get those free dreads, free lock, free form going. She actually did lock them the last time that I went. But the way that she had to lock them, I look nuts. I look like a newborn baby bird. And you remember when at the beginning of Lion King, when what was Simba's mom's name?
Oh, I forgot.
Damn. Either way, she licked his head and his hair like did. Yeah. That's what my shit looked like. That's why I'm wearing it. I'll try to lay it down.
Yeah, that's why you're really wearing it. Okay. Yeah,
I'll try to lay it down because it's like
only like four pieces are sticking up like this and everything else is like
that. Can't go out like that. I do it at work because I don't give a fuck. But in public, yeah, no. But anyways, it's very important that we need to share the history and all that shit, man. But I'm trying to think if there are any last remarks that I have. I guess we could talk about Mavericks culture, a little bit of basketball.
Mavericks culture.
Because I keep up with it because I know it's the play. To know who wins the finals every year is like a good time thing to have. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, that was the year Steph beat LeBron for the first time or whatever. And then with that, you can usually remember everything else that happened that year. Cause like everybody's focused on basketball. So everything's going to like kind of evolve around basketball. But, a Kawhi-less Clippers made it out of game 7, right?
It was game 6.
Oh, game 6. So they, okay, my bad.
They won though. They won a series.
They won the series. First time in Clippers organization history that they made it to the finals. Western Conference Finals. They said Gilbert. What's Gilbert? What's his name? No. What's the dude name that's paid a lot and everybody hates him? Defensive Player of the Year.
Rudy Gobert.
I should have said Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah. No. Everybody loves Gilbert.
Yeah. So they're saying he's overpaid and he's a bum and he needs to go back to West Manchester. And They're saying the Lakers going to send Kyle Kuzma to go play for Japan or some shit. Yeah, he's definitely not going to be there next year.
Yeah, so the Kawhi, everybody was like, oh, Kawhi's done.
Yeah.
They done.
Right.
And they were down 2-0 at a point, too. That was still with Kawhi. But they battled back just like they did against the Mavericks. And then they...
I don't think Kawhi really hurt himself. I think somehow they were like, we can get past these niggas. Kawhi, get your rest. Come back like game 2-3 of the finals, Western Conference Finals, so we can...
It's a bold gamble.
It's very bold.
But if that's the case. But either way...
But see...
They won.
And I think that's a testament to Ty Lue as a coach. He's great.
Yeah, 12-1 in elimination games, man.
He's great. Crazy. Take it to the east.
To the streets.
We didn't get to marvel at the fact that KD played every minute of that game.
Yeah.
And scored
49 points.
49 points, like
16 rebounds, 10 assists. Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
And that was like fresh off the Kyrie injury.
Yeah.
James Harden came back playing like shit.
Yeah, so. But he still was able to guard. I mean, but Giannis Antetokounmpo can't do a fadeaway on anybody. Nigga, I could have been guarding him. That wasn't going in.
No, he balled out last game.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
He's going to game 7 now.
He's going to game 7, which is tonight, right?
Tonight, yeah. And then Atlanta and Philadelphia's going to game 7. Atlanta lost.
They blew a 26-point lead, though.
The 76ers did, yeah. And they were calling them the Philadelphia 26ers.
Let's end on this Mavericks culture thing since we are from Dallas. So apparently the coach left. What's his name?
Rick Carlisle. 13-year coach.
He's definitely Irish. if I could guess everybody's like thing
white
from their
nationality.
Last name. Yeah, he's Irish. He looked like he cuts people.
Okay.
But he quit. He quit on his own accord.
Yeah, he said this was completely my decision. I'm out of here, deuce.
Which, you know, I guess.
So this all started just like Wednesday, right? So Wednesday,
we had basketball mayhem.
There was a bunch of shit happen. Chris Paul is in the COVID protocol. Steve Van Gundy fired. Scott Brooks is fired. This is a bunch of shit. And then on top of all that, there comes a report from actually a Dallas site, Central Track, was the one that broke the scoop. So apparently, there was a story that broke that apparently Luka is having some friction with some people in the front office of the Mavericks organization. So they did a little digging, and they found out it was, I don't know his first name, but his last name is Vulgaris. He is like an analytic guy, right? Mm-hmm. But they... people have been calling him the shadow GM. So basically, a lot of his decisions have just superseded the coach and the GM but the public doesn't know about it. Potentially, like, I guess Mark Cuban's grooming him for the future or whatever. But Luka doesn't like this motherfucker, basically, is what it boils down to. And then they put out a video where at a game, the dude told Luka to calm down. And Luka pointed at him on camera and said, "Don't tell me to fucking calm down,
bitch."
So that story came out. And then literally the next day, they were like, Donnie Nelson, after 24 years with the organization, is being let go. They said, you know how they do the mutually agreed to part ways, but they said that Mark Cuban fired him. And I thought that was a very odd thing to happen after that report came out. Because if the man that Luka has a problem with is somebody else, why did Donnie Nelson get fired?
Yeah.
I do think they need new blood, but this was an odd timing for it all. So he got fired, what have you. And they're like, and then Luka says, "Oh man, this dude drafted me. I've known him since I was a kid. That would hurt." And I was like, "Ooh, getting rough." And then the very next day, Rick Carlisle quits and says, "I'm not going to be a coach no more. It's my decision. Can't wait to see what else is happening out there in the basketball world." Just not here.
Yeah, maybe they need to get rid of the guy that Luka hates, because he's probably at the root.
I mean, so historically, when there's an issue in a team, football, basketball, doesn't matter the sport, generally, that can lead to friction and those people leaving. You're seeing what's happening with Green Bay right now with Aaron Rodgers. He's trying to leave. All that shit, right? I mean, Jordan hated Jerry Krause for the Bulls.
The owner, right?
Nah, he was the GM.
Oh, yeah, the GM. Yeah.
But, anyway, so then it was announced that Dirk is going to become a special advisor for the Mavericks. They're going to use him in their to help search for the GM and the coach, but also basically be like their
middle
man for the players. To me, that sounds like, oh shit, we'll bring him here to calm Luka down, you know, talk to the players. So they said they're going to try to hire the GM first and then the coach, but I'm almost 100% certain they're going to reach out to Jason Kidd as a coach. I don't know if he'll get the job, but I know they'll at least reach out to Jason Kidd. He used to play for us, won a ring here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then...
I thought Jason Kidd put something out and said he's not leaving the Lakers.
Yeah, because the Mavericks job wasn't on the table yet. Because they were saying he's going to go to Portland. He was like, nah. So, So Ridge texted me yesterday and said my bold prediction is that Michael Finley is the new GM, because he was an executive vice president of basketball operations, and then Jamal Mosley will be the new coach.
Let's see.
Those are two people already in the organization.
Right.
So it's all interesting. I don't think Luka will leave, because he wants that Supermax bag.
I will say this, though, while we're on the fact of Juneteenth. And okay. black coaches versus white coaches. Now, remember when Toronto Raptors won the championship?
Yes.
Their coach had won Coach of the Year.
Yeah, Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse. Yeah.
Wait, that's the black guy?
No, their coach is white.
The guy that was there when they won the championship, though. Or their assistant coach. Or something.
No, that was the GM you're talking about.
The GM won Coach of the Year?
No, Nick Nurse won Coach of the Year. He's white.
Bro, there was a black dude for the organization that won something, and he got fired right after he won. Nick Nurse is the coach now, but I'm talking about the coach before.
Nick Nurse won the championship, though.
Okay, well, who was the... There was the coach before Nick Nurse. That's what I'm saying.
I think that was Dwayne Casey.
He won Coach of the Year. They fired him that year. In the NFL, a lot of black coaches, if they go to the playoffs and they lose or some shit, NBA, they are getting fired. Fired.
Yeah, they call it getting, yeah.
They get fired. Now, Mavericks coach, he got to quit after how many years of getting bounced out of the playoffs?
Who?
The Mavs coach.
Oh yeah, he's only gone past the first round twice. That was the year they won the championship, and the year
Doc Rivers got the, but see, I understand Doc Rivers. He has more of a history. He's been having a losing history in the playoffs. Yada yada, cheese enchilada. But still, they kicked his ass up out of there too. There was friction with the players and him. Obviously, Paul George didn't like the way he was being coached by Doc and all that shit. I just find it super interesting that majority of the time, white coaches are able to get up and walk out and be like, yeah, well, I lost a lot. I stunk it up in here. But
like, and they still get a job.
And I didn't get fired. But you black, you lose, make it to the playoffs, lose. Yeah, our culture doesn't, and we don't agree. All the word buzzwords they use, I just find that extremely wild. Then I believe last week.
It's also very apparent in football.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's what I said in the NFL. That like they do that in the NFL like it's nobody's business. Like
it's fucking cake, yeah.
But I also find it interesting, last week I think there was an article from an unknown GM. Well, the GM was not named.
Yeah.
But he said, it's really, basically, I'm paraphrasing it, it's really crazy these niggas got so much power now in the NBA. That fucked the NBA up, giving all these niggas power.
Y'all the players, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying players, I mean niggas, because he was talking about, only black people are speaking
up. Yeah, I know, I'm saying, he said, they gave all the players all the power.
Yeah.
Like, we can't do anything now.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to work, you ass. Yeah, like, they're the players. They're playing the game. What the fuck?
That shit is...
So you telling me, if you think you deserve something, when I'm the one making y'all millions of dollars, I'm the face.
Yeah. It's so weird to say this, because Greg Abbott and the shit that he put into action for the abortion thing or whatever, nuts.
He has been... relentless.
But I did see something that he's gonna get all the Texas players paid, like college players or some shit.
Oh, I don't know.
It was some. I saw something like that. Y'all, you listening? Fact check me. But I definitely saw that. I'm not saying one sin or one good thing, because the shit that he did towards the women is fucking foul. I do not approve of it. It's her body, her choice. And that's just where I stand on that. I mean, that's where I stand on that. But it's so weird that they try to use their Bible thumpers, but the only thing God really told us to do was whatever the fuck we wanted to. That's law. But then y'all use the Bible in y'all's own way to manipulate everything. So y'all
said half the shit they talk about is not.
Yeah, we'll start another whole other podcast about that shit.
Yeah.
All I want to say is, Mavs, get y'all shit together. I believe in Luka. I think they need like another pure scorer, or not as pure as Luka, but somebody who can at least get them something, you know?
But that's why they got to get this front office situation figured out, or else they're never going to get nobody.
Yeah, get it figured out. Dalton Ridge want to come to a game. We haven't seen Luka play yet, right?
I have.
Huh?
Yeah, I've seen Luka play. What do you mean? You weren't there.
Why? That's what I'm...
Because I took Shelby. What the fuck?
I thought you get like four tickets, though.
No. Just two.
Oh, it's two now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't do Mavericks tickets anymore.
Oh, damn. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah. They don't do them anymore. They increased the price, and that's when they were sucking, so they didn't renew. They're probably going to renew next year, though, now that they know they're back in business. But
yeah, let me know.
Yeah. We got Cowboys tickets, though, that's for sure. But I don't want to go there, though.
I think the only Cowboys game I went to, I might have went to more than one. I know we went with your dad for one, for sure.
And there's only one game I'm going to this year.
And Carolina?
They play Carolina in Dallas.
We went to the game where Dez had hurt his back.
Yeah.
We went to that. We were at that game. I was like, oh, shit, he was up there, too. Yeah. Anyways, look, man, we ain't got no more, right? You good?
I got no more juice. Yeah. All right. We got a game night to go to.
You got a game night to go
to. Happy birthday, Katie and Steph.
Double birthday party. So we're getting chocolate wasted. I want to play a song to mellow us out here, if you don't mind.
To exit us out.
Yeah. Whenever you're ready.
Just play it.
It's called, it's by Shy Baby, I guess. S-H-A-B-A-B-I-I. It's called Barnacles.
Oh, yeah.
I really like this beat.
From Detroit.
Oh, he's from Detroit?
Yeah.
Cool. I really like this beat, so.
This is an interesting choice to leave off on.
It's a very mellow beat. The album was called Barnacles, but the song is called Purple Umbrella.
He's Detroit.
Very mellow, like floating through space.
You know how hard it is to record whistles?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.